think we ended up verse 8. We'll go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you again for your words and what a blessing they are. And but for some, Lord, they're going to be a curse. They're going to be a curse. Those that reject your words will become a curse to them. And Father, we pray now that we would not reject your words, whatever they may be, whatever you have to tell us. And we pray that our hearts and our eyes and our ears will be open to them, and that we can get more truth from you. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. Last week we went through how the disciples, they seen not only Jesus coming in the kingdom of heaven. That's found in Matthew 17, 1 through 6. But we went through how they also saw the kingdom of God. How they saw the Son of Man coming. How did they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom? Right? They saw him. They saw the fashion of his countenance altered, according to Luke 9. How his clothes were different. They were different colors. They were white, bright, shining, glistening. And than they were when he went up into the mountain. I'm sure he wasn't wearing a white garment when he went up there, folks. Right? He's in a desert area. He's walking around. I'm sure they're earthly clothes that they're wearing. But glistening, pure white. White and glistening. The Bible says his raiment was white as the light. So he's got different clothes on. And he was transfigured before their eyes. And how we went through how Moses and Elijah, they picture Old Testament saints. They picture Old Testament saints that died in the Old Testament. And we'll add, they also picture tribulation saints that are going to die in the tribulation. They get to enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's a picture of them entering into the kingdom of heaven when Christ takes over. Peter, James, and John, they picture the Jews that get through the tribulation according to the way that God has set up. They know God, and they're following him, doing what he said to do. The Jews... these Jews see Jesus coming. Peter, James, and John, they represent the Jews. They see Jesus coming out of Sela Petra. We went through that. There's a sign in heaven. There's a sign, and Jesus is going to come up. He's going to show up out of the dark. He's going to light the sky up. Right? We went through that last week. But they picture these Jews seeing Jesus coming back again. And that's found in Matthew 24. The multitude, when they come out of the mountain, will be the people that represent the nations that obeyed God, that know God, that obeyed what he said to do, that get to come into the kingdom. And there's this devil being cast out. That devil being cast out pictures the devils not being able to come into the kingdom, right? So Jesus is coming again. And Peter, James, and John, they see Jesus Christ coming in his kingdom in this vision. How is it that they saw the kingdom of God? We went through how Moses and Elijah, they picture a born-again believers in this age. The kingdom of God within you. And those people that... they get to enter into the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is coming back with the Lord Jesus when he comes. They're coming back with him. We went through, they picture born-again believer. Moses, he pictures a born-again believer that dies and gets his body back. Gets a resurrection. The Lord came and got his body, folks. He came out of the ground. He's gone. He's not here anymore. He's not in the grave anymore. His body is no longer here. Okay? And he pictures that is what we call the rapture today. All right? He was resurrected. And we call that the rapture today. The Bible calls it a catching away, but we call it the rapture. Elijah pictures a born-again believer that never dies, but is translated. He's translated. He doesn't die on this earth. The Lord takes him. A picture of the what we call the rapture, a person being taken off this earth alive. And that's found in, you see this kingdom of God stuff is found in Luke 9. Here in Matthew, it's the kingdom of heaven. In Luke 9, it's the kingdom of God. And so Moses and Elijah, they picture the kingdom of God. Jesus is there. Born-again believers are there. Peter, James, and John, they see it. They see it coming. Hey, when Jesus comes back, he's bringing born-again believers with him. Right? He's bringing us with him. And the people that they meet at the foot of that mountain in Luke 9, they represent the nations. Peter, James, and John represents the Jews that get through that tribulation, that do what God said. The people at the foot of the hill, they're going to represent the nations that get to come in. The unclean spirit that gets cast out in Luke 9 represents no devilish influence whatsoever in the kingdom. Right? For 1,000 years. And so we have a vision here in verse 9. The Bible says, "And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead." And so here's this vision that some of the disciples seen. Some of them did not. What did Jesus just say? He just got done explaining in Matthew 16:28. "Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see." What did they see? They saw the vision. Verse 9 of chapter 17. And so the Bible shows that yet again, that man is always looking for an error in the Bible, folks. They're always looking for an error in the Bible. Or they want to believe something out of context. Jesus didn't take over the kingdoms of the earth yet, folks. All right? He didn't take over the kingdoms of the earth yet. And some of the original disciples are not still alive on this earth waiting for Jesus to come back so that they can see this and say that the Bible is true. All right, they saw it there in their time, in their day. And that was that vision that they saw. And so the statement Jesus made in Matthew 16:28 has already been fulfilled. All right? It's already been fulfilled. They saw it. And there's a future date where the Jews are going to see it in the tribulation. And that's Peter, James, and John represents those. So Jesus fulfills his statement there, and he's also going to fulfill coming again at a later date. And so let's read verse 9 again. "And when and as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead." There is a resurrection from the dead. And there is a resurrection of the dead. We all know that. We've gone through it before, but we'll go through a little bit over here. A resurrection from the dead is someone or some group who has died and is amongst the dead. All right? And then gets resurrected and is no longer amongst the dead anymore. Okay? We all understand that. There are just people that are dead, and there are unjust people that are dead. Look, if you would, to Acts 24. Acts 24. Verses 15. And we'll start in verse 14. "But this I confess unto thee, and after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. The just and unjust. These just and unjust get raised together at the same time, folks. That'll be at the white throne judgment. The just and the unjust. You say, how can this be? How can this be? Well, there's going to be people that die on this earth that were invalids. Right? And their bodies, I don't believe they come up until the white throne judgment, folks. There's nothing in the Bible that says that they do. But we know that they come up in the end. The just do. Those that never could make a conscious decision. The Lord's not going to judge them and throw them in hell. But he's going to judge them at the white throne judgment. They're considered just in his eyes. But those that had opportunity and those that could make a conscious decision that didn't, they're the unjust. They had the opportunity. And God's going to judge them and throw them into the lake of fire. But he's not going to throw an invalid in there. He's not going to do it. Baby that dies, the body goes into the grave, folks. There's a part of it. Yes. Yes. Okay, well, whatever. Yeah, mentally. Yeah, I'm sorry. We'll say that. What's the word for that? It starts with an I. Okay. We'll use incompetent. Yeah. Somebody that can't think. Maybe they can't walk at the same time. I don't know. Somebody that can't make a conscious decision. Right? I did say that. And so, I defined the word. For everybody. He who defines the word controls the debate, right? I make up the words and I just define them as I want. Okay. So, somebody that can't make a conscious decision, folks. A baby. Can't make a conscious decision, right? The body goes into the grave. The body of an unsaved person goes into the grave. Right? There's a part of everybody that goes into the grave that is amongst the dead. Body's dead. The body's dead. And at the white throne judgment, everybody's going to get their body back, folks. And their soul, they're going to get their soul back to their body. And I believe that God is going to give them their spirit back that went to God. God's just. He has a way of putting somebody in prison, which is hell, leaving their body in the ground, and keeping their spirit till the day of judgment, and then giving them all back to him and judging them. He can do that. God's a great God, and he's just. And nobody's ever going to say, hey, you judged me before the time. Really? Was your spirit judged? Spirit goes back to God, folks. So there's a resurrection from the dead. And if you would, in Revelation 20. Here's a resurrection from the dead. And there's a resurrection of the dead. Here's a resurrection from the dead. Revelation 20, verses 4. The Bible says, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast. Notice, they were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. They know Jesus, and they're witnessing of him. And for the word of God. They've got the word of God, folks, in the tribulation. They've got the word of God. And which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image. Hey, if you know Jesus and you got the Word of God, you're not going to take the mark. You can't know Jesus and know the Word of God and take the mark and think you're going to go anywhere. you didn't have any faith. You never really believed. And which worshiped not, and which had not worshiped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years, but the rest of the dead, right? These guys were dead, and they lived. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So there you have it, folks. People in the tribulation, they're getting a resurrection from the dead. Because the rest of the dead live not again. And so there's a part of a Christian, folks, that is numbered amongst the dead. Your body, when you die, is numbered amongst the dead. And the body is still here. Why? Even though you're saved, the body's still here because that part of you has not been redeemed yet. And it's not going to get redeemed until the trump of God blows and the dead in Christ rise. That's in 1 Thessalonians 4:15. And if you're part of the resurrection of the dead, you better hope you're one of the people that are just. Because if you're not, you're going into the lake of fire. You're going into the lake of fire. If you're not one of the resurrection from the dead, you better hope you're the just of the dead, right? So the best way to be, folks, is to never die and to be translated like Elijah. But if you do die, hopefully you die in Christ. Because if you don't, you're going to be waiting. You're going to be one of the unjust. And, folks, we're supposed to comfort one another with these words. Hey, God's coming back. He's getting our bodies back. Right? We're going to be forever with the Lord. And we're supposed to comfort one another with these words. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Matthew. Back in Matthew 17, verses 10. Or, I'm sorry, verse 9. Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. Folks, Jesus is not interested in revealing anything to anybody except his disciples after the Jews reject him. After he asked the Father to forgive them, for they know not what they do, in Luke chapter 23, 34, and he rises again, does he then go back to that Jew? And he gives them another chance, right? And then they reject again. So he moves to the Gentiles again. Verse 10, Matthew 17, verse 10. The Bible says, and his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? So here you have the scribes probably saying that this isn't the Messiah. He's probably telling the disciples off to the side, hey, this isn't the Messiah because Elijah hasn't come back. And Elijah's supposed to come back before Jesus, the Messiah, comes. And his disciples remember this in the back of their head, and so they ask Jesus this question. And that ought to show you, folks, that there are people out there that know the Scriptures, right? Scribes knew the Scriptures because they knew Elijah was coming back. That's found in Malachi, I think. It's found in Malachi 4, Malachi 6. I'm in Micah. My eyes must be going. Eating too much rice. You know, rice doesn't have any vitamin A, and that's why a lot of Chinese people, I just found this out the other day, I was doing some research, that's why Chinese people, they go blind at an early age. A lot of people do. Yeah, they don't have vitamin A in rice, and that's a main staple in their diet. Yeah, I just found that out the other day. Malachi 4:6. Or 4:5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He says he's going to send Elijah. And here the disciples, they remember that these scribes said this to them. And people do, they know the scriptures. The scribes knew. And when you deal with people, and people tell you something about something that's in the Bible that you don't know the answer to, folks, this shows you that everybody needs to take that statement to the Lord Jesus, what they told you. Hey, the disciples did, and what happened to them? They got the answer. They got an answer that nobody on the face of this world could have ever figured out on their own. Who would have ever thought what Jesus is getting ready to tell them ever would have taken place? You're not going to think that on your own, folks. We got the revelation. We've got the Bible here that tells us. But you're going to tell me that you would ever figure out that Elijah was actually John the Baptist? That's what Jesus is getting ready to say. And so the only reason why that Jesus reveals again to his disciples that he's the Messiah, because he's getting ready to tell them, hey, Elijah, he has come. That means I am who I say I am. The only reason why they get another revelation that Jesus is the Messiah is because they submitted themselves to John the Baptist ministry, and they submitted themselves to Jesus' ministry. And so they're going to get a spiritual understanding. The scribes, on the other hand, they only got the knowledge. You can have the knowledge of the Bible, folks. Right? You can study the Bible and know where a verse is, and you can know what it says. But are you going to understand it? You're not going to understand it unless God gives you that revelation. And God's not giving you that revelation unless you're one of his children, or unless you're submitted to him. Unless you're submitted to his words. And the scribes obviously were not. When the heart submits, folks, then you get the revelation that Jesus is the Christ. And that's when you can get saved. And you can believe the gospel. No submission, no submission of the heart, you get no revelation. God isn't about to reveal to anybody anything whose heart isn't right. And that's why every Jew and every Jewish proselyte that received Jesus as their Messiah, they did two things, folks. They did two things. They showed forth repentance, and they were baptized with John's baptism in this age right here that we're talking about. Not this age here that we're standing in, but the age that Jesus is in right now on the earth. And somewhat thereafter. And we're going to go, and I'm going to show you something. We know that Paul, he witnesses to a Philippian jailer. This Philippian jailer says to him, "What must I do to be saved?" And he said, and Paul says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." That's found in Acts 16. Go with me, if you would, to Acts 19. Acts 19. Verses 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus." Christ means Messiah, folks. They get the revelation right here. They get it. They were baptized under John's baptism. So they fulfilled the first requirement in getting the Messiah revealed to them. All they had to do was hear that Jesus was the Messiah. And they just heard it. And so Paul just told them. The Bible says when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. There you have it. You have one way somebody getting saved, and you have another way somebody getting saved. These were Jews that were baptized under John's baptism, folks. And God is going to get them the revelation that that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. And they didn't die until they got it. Verse 11 of Matthew, chapter 17. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. Hey, folks, if the Jew would have received the message of the kingdom, under the conditions that were given to them, Elias would have come. He would have come in the person of John the Baptist. That's what the Bible just said. Right? Jesus would have fulfilled the ministry of Moses, and in type, you have a representation of the law and the prophets. And so, if there need to be two witnesses, which there does, according to Deuteronomy 19:15, go with me if you would to Deuteronomy 19:15, and you'll see two witnesses are required. When you're doing something in this nature. 19, verse 15. Bible says, one witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity. For any iniquity or for any sin. In any sin that he sinneth, at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. How about that? Jesus couldn't just come. He needed another witness to come with him. And so Elijah and Moses picture that witness. You can't tell somebody they need to repent without another witness. You can't tell somebody that they need, they're sinners, without somebody else there saying, yeah, he's right. You need two witnesses, folks. And that's why I believe that when you're out there witnessing, especially door to door, you tell somebody they're a sinner, there needs to be two people there. Not to protect your own self, but because that's what the Bible requires when you're telling somebody that they are on their way to hell. They're sinners on their way to hell. That's what's required. And Jesus, he is not going to do anything against what he says, what he wrote, right? So he's got a witness. And John the Baptist was that witness. And he would have been Elijah. Matthew 17. Moses was a prophet. Jesus was a prophet, right? That's found in Deuteronomy 18:18. He said he's going to raise up a prophet like unto thee. That was Moses. And he's a prophet. Jesus is a prophet. Moses, he shone with light. Jesus, he shone with light. At the Mount of Transfiguration. Moses died and was resurrected. Jesus dies and he was resurrected. And so, there are going to be two witnesses needed for the first coming. There are going to be two witnesses needed for the second coming. And so Moses and Elijah are going to show up in the tribulation, and they are going to witness to the whole world, folks, to the whole world, that they're sinners and they need Jesus. They need Jesus. So anyway, the Jew rejects John's ministry, and John dies. He's no longer needed. The witness is no longer needed anymore because they rejected him. The Jews reject Jesus' ministry. Guess what? Jesus is no longer needed anymore. He dies. Right? And so Elijah and Moses will show up in the tribulation again. And there is a legitimate offer here. We see the legitimate offer. And we need to see that Jesus is, he's giving these guys a legitimate offer. There's no legitimate offer of the kingdom unless Moses and Elijah are types of these two witnesses. There has to be these people here for there to be a legitimate offer. And that's found in Deuteronomy, and that's found in Malachi. Elijah's coming. Moses is coming. There needs to be the two witnesses. Luke 1:16. Go with me if you would there. Luke 1:16. It says that Elijah truly shall come and restore all things in Matthew 17:11. Luke 1:16. Let's look and see what he did. Luke 1:16. The Bible says, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. Many he shall turn. Right? And he did. But he didn't do all of them. He didn't do them all. They rejected his ministry. So we see here, folks, that God is, he's a great God. And he can set a thing up and it doesn't have to actually work that way. Right? He set it up to give him a legitimate offer for that Jew to receive the kingdom. But it didn't work that way. John Calvin's God is a God that sets everything up in advance and makes sure it comes out to the detail. Right? He set it up to where this guy's predestinated to go into heaven, but this guy isn't. That's that God. The God of the Bible sets it up so that if it comes out well, okay. And if not, then I'll do it later and not miss any of the necessary requirements. John Calvin's God could have never added 15 years to Hezekiah's life. He could have never done it. That's found in Isaiah 38:5. But the God of the Bible can work out his will and still change the events. And so it would take a great God to set up the events in history and make sure they all came to pass, but it would take an even greater God to set up events in history with a purpose and a will and be able to change the events in history and not mess anything up. And that's what you see here. The Jews messed the legitimate offer up, and the Lord is going to bring the same two witnesses back again to fulfill the scripture, right? And they're going to get another chance. Who is like the Lord? Who is like the Lord? And let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your words, and we thank you, Lord, that you can do great things, things that are unimaginable in our eyes. But with God, all things are possible. And Father, we know, Lord, that your will will happen. Even though man's will goes against your will and tries to change the situation, you've got a way of making it work out to where nothing goes against your words. And we're thankful for that, Lord. And we're thankful for your promises and your truth. And we pray, Lord, that we would just be be mindful to it, and we pray that you would bless the services and the events that take place today. And we pray these things for Christ.